Yeah, it's important for us. You know, like with how we try our best to do church, is we really want to try and not follow a program and not just go through a ritual every Sunday. But we do want to see where God leads us and what God wants to do. If we sing these songs, we need to really believe it and say, God, all this is for you. And therefore, whatever you want, God, that's what I want to give to you. And so it's important, it's messy, it's difficult, it's tricky trying to hear the Lord, and I don't think we always get it. I don't even know if we got it in worship tonight, but I really want us to be a people where we say, God, it really doesn't matter if we mess it up, as long as we try our very best to see you and what you want to do. Every Sunday evening, when we come together, and when we come together in our communities, when we come together as a church, we need to ask, God, what do you want to do? How do you see this evening playing out? Because it's so easy for us to plan at home and go through our little list and say, cool, we can have worship, and then we can have a message, and then in the worship we're going to sing these songs. It's going to take approximately this long. But in fact, what we need to do is say, God, you, it's a blank canvas. We'll prepare, but God, we want you to show up. That's all we're longing for. It's actually that we would see you tonight. And that needs to be our desire every time. And so let's keep striving for that, even though at times it might feel like, God, did we get to you or did we not? I really believe our main thought should be, God, we want to try. We want to see you. We really want to see you. So I wanted to share a quick message with you tonight. And the idea is I'm going to really try and keep it to like 10 minutes about. And then I'm going to have a few people coming up to share their testimonies with you. And what I want to speak about, in short, is the fact that God is active today still. It's so easy to read the Bible and be inspired by the Bible and think that those things that happened in the Bible are incredible. And you feel like, God, you are so amazing. All of these things that you did in the Bible, you are such a big God. But the question is, how much of the things that we see in the Bible do we actually still see today? And the thing that I want to put to you to this evening is that we should be a people who contend to see the things that we see in the Bible. We still want to see those things today. We still want to see it. Jesus Christ is not dead. He's risen. He's alive. He's still working, and he's still doing miracles. And we should be a group of people that say, God, no rituals. Only you. God, no rituals. Only you changing lives. That's what we want. We want to contend for those things. So, I want to quickly tell you a story. We went to a school, Marshall School, Paul Rose, a few years ago, and we were doing an outreach in this school, and one of the rules that were given to us at this outreach was that we are not allowed to specifically, like, blatantly speak about Jesus because of it being offensive to some children. So when we speak about Jesus, we have to do it really tactfully. So you first have to sort of figure out, is this person open to you speaking to them about Jesus? Otherwise, the school can get in trouble. It gets really complicated at school sometimes. Anyway, so we were really excited for this outreach, and we were thinking, okay, cool. God, we're still going to trust you that you would come and work in people's lives. We don't know how. We're going to sort of suss it out. And so I got this idea. They sent us these small groups of scholars, maybe four or five, and I had this brilliant idea. I was like, okay, cool. I have an idea that I can sort of figure out, what do they think about Jesus? And if they're sort of open for the idea of Jesus, then I'm going to go for it. I'm going to preach Jesus, and if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. It's one of those things. And so I did this. We were a group together, and I asked them, and I did this a couple of times. I said, okay, I want you all to close your eyes. You don't have to do it now, those of you closing your eyes. I know you're a very obedient group of people, but you don't have to close your eyes now. Say, close your eyes. It would be really interesting actually to see what this experiment looks like with you, but I'm gonna refrain. I'm not gonna do it. I'm just gonna tell you what happened there. Say to them, okay, with all of your eyes closed, no one's opening their eyes. It's only me that's gonna see. Your friends aren't gonna know what you do and when you put your hand up. And so I wanted to sort of suss out what do they think about Jesus. And I asked them, who of you think that Jesus Christ, that it was not just a story? It's not just a story in the Bible. Those things really actually happen. And I look at them, and slowly but surely, all of their hands go up. They're quite confident. They're like, yeah, it really happened. It's not just a story. They were right. It's not just a story. It's historically factual, the fact that Jesus was on the earth. And then I said, okay, next question. You can put down your hands. Not you, because no one did put up your hands anyway. So you can put down your hands. Okay, next question. Who of you believe that Jesus was more than just a normal person. He was like not just an average Joe, not just a regular person that walked the earth. Meaning he was historical, yes, but was he like more than like a normal guy? Close your eyes, okay, cool. Raise your hands. All of them are like, yeah. Jesus was supernatural. And then I said, okay, who of you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? So I'm sort of pushing it further the whole time. Who of you believe Jesus was the Son of God? And you can see the hands go up. It's not as quick as the first and second time, but the hands are still like, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then I said to them, who of you believe that Jesus is God? And confusion. The hands are sort of went up, but sort of not. And some of the hands were like, yeah, I think so, but I'm not sure, am I supposed to say that or not? Because he's the Son of God, now is he God? I'm not sure. And some of them were really confused. And I realized there that what you think about Jesus is actually really important because it affects the way that you live. See, I think we should stand still more and actually prod into people's lives and ask them, what do you believe about God? Yes, you believe about God, but what do you believe about God? Yes, you believe in Jesus. He was a historical person. But do you believe that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God? And when you start prodding and feeling around in people's lives, then you sort of get to what people believe. And if you can see what people believe, then you'll understand it better why they live the way that they live. Because what you believe influences the way that you live. And so having a right understanding of God, knowing who God really is going to influence the way you live for God. If God is just a teddy bear, because some people see him as this big loving figure that just wants to give hugs all of the time, then guess how you're going to relate to God? You're just going to wait for the hugs the whole time. God's going to be happy. He can always be happy. He can never not be happy. That's the way you see God. If your picture of God is that he's like a grandfather, got a big beard, sitting in heaven, he's always smiling, then same thing, you're never going to believe that God could sometimes be strict with you. And so what you believe about God is a really, really important thing about you. There's an anonymous quote where someone said, what you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. I'm just going to say that again. What you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you, because it's going to influence the way that you live. So I quickly wanted to go through the three people of the Trinity. So I don't want to get technical, but the Bible speaks about God being three, but God being one. Jesus Christ. All of us hear about Jesus Christ. We've heard about Jesus Christ. God the Father. We know about God the Father. He is God as we see him. And then the Bible also speaks about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to quickly stand still on each of these and give us scriptures to read to sort of look into the way that we see God. And I want to ask you, is this the way that the Bible is portraying the God that we know, is that the way that you see God? Because we need to see him like that. Firstly, we're going to look at Revelation 1 verse 14 to 16. Now, I want to start at Jesus firstly. And I want to say, Jesus is not just the Jesus that walked on the earth. If you think about Jesus, I'm going to change your mind tonight. I don't want you to only see the meek and humble Jesus that walked the earth, right, with his disciples. Because that's not the Jesus that's alive anymore. Do you know that? That's not the Jesus that's alive anymore. Jesus Christ was like that for 33 years. But before that, Jesus has always been alive. He's always been God. Lived for 33 years, and he's still God. He's still living. Look at how the Bible portrays him. Because I think it's us Afrikaans people especially, we like Liebe Liebe Jesus, right? You know, any Afrikaans people, you've ever heard of Liebe Jesus or Liebe Liebe Jesus? Okay. This is not Liebe Liebe Jesus, by the way. This is another Jesus here, but this is the Jesus that's alive. This is John. He comes into heaven and he sees Jesus as Jesus is right now as he's living. He says, the hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. So just imagine it. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in full strength. Jesus is not liver liver Jesus. He's not. He is powerful. He's living still. He didn't stay on that cross. He didn't stay on the earth. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is in heaven at the moment, and this is what he looks like. He is powerful. Beyond comparison, he is powerful. And we need to change our view of Jesus. Jesus is still living today. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. So the picture of Jesus today, if you had to think of Jesus, you need to think, not Jesus was someone who lived 2,000 years ago. You need to think, yes, he lived, but he still lives. He's in heaven. He's praying for us today. Where is Jesus? What is he doing? He's praying for you right now. He's powerful. When he speaks, it's a sharp, two-edged sword. It cuts. His words cut. And he's praying for you tonight. He's praying for you. Isn't that wonderful? It's fantastic. Let's look at the Holy Spirit. So many people get confused about the Holy Spirit. We think it's like a force. It's like, may the force be with you. We think that's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the second person of the Trinity. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. So we know about Jesus. And who of you, to be honest, you would have loved to spend some time with Jesus, like in the flesh? I think that would be cool, all of you, right? Like, imagine going for a run with Jesus, right? Or going for ice cream with Jesus. How cool would that be? Right? Imagine that. Imagine not having to pray, but being able to speak to Jesus face to face. Anyone think that could be quite cool? Okay, so that sounds cool. Now Jesus Christ is speaking before he's about to leave the earth. Because we've got this idea that Jesus was just a human being on earth. We need to get that idea out of our head. It's not only that, it's an incomplete picture of Jesus. Now Jesus is speaking. He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. So the disciples are with him. He says, it's cool that I'm with you. It's good. But it's going to be better when I leave. It'll be better for you. For if I do not go away, the Helper, capital letter H, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then it says, this Helper is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying to us, I was here. I'm going to go to heaven. We just read where Jesus is and how Jesus is. But as he said, even if I go, I'm sending the Holy Spirit and he's going to be with you. Can you believe that? It sounds like almost unbelievable that Jesus would say, it's better that I go, that I'm not with you face to face, because I'm going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And we need to be a people that have that view of God, that the Holy Spirit is like Jesus walked on the earth with the disciples. We can be people that walk with the Holy Spirit, that he works in our lives just like Jesus worked in the lives of the disciples. The Holy Spirit is still active today. It wasn't just in the Bible. Today, he is still working. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is still working in each of your lives if you are a follower of Jesus. If you are a Christian, he's working. Flip, that's incredible news, eh? He's reminding you of the things that the Bible says, reminding you of the things that Jesus did for you. That is incredible. Amen. Glory.
Glory.
Glory. Okay, cool. I think that's exciting. And then thirdly, the third person of the Trinity is the Father. What is the Father doing today? How should we see the Father? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See that all together. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted by God. Where is God the Father today? He's in heaven, but what is he doing? He's reaching out to us. He's comforting us. He's loving us. Not just in the Bible. Today, God is still alive. He is still alive. John 3:16, we all know this scripture. For God so, and this is speaking about the Father as well, for God so loved the world that he gave that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What is the Father doing today? He's still reaching out to sinners. He did it while Jesus was dying on the cross, dying for humanity. Jesus Christ took the sin of humanity upon him, died for your sin, died for my sin, died so that we can come into the presence of God. But not only that, the Father is still reaching out to us. Jesus is still interceding for us, and the Holy Spirit is still helping us today. Incredible, eh? Can I get an amen? I feel like I need to engage with you guys tonight. It's incredible news. So I'm going to step away now because I want to, a few people, five people specifically that I asked, to come and share testimonies of how God is still working in their lives today and how God has still worked in their lives in the past season. So I've asked for a broad group of testimonies because I feel like many times when people testify, what we think is, that's so great for that person, but I'm like a klein Christen, that's a groot Christen over there. I don't have that type of faith, but I've asked people to share, because I think some of the stories are relatable. Some of the stories are even about how people went through tough times, and they found God in tough times. So I'm trusting we will all be encouraged, and we will all realize that if God can do it in that person, God can do it in me. Okay, so who's up first? I sent you guys that list.
Hi everyone. I just got around the crack and people thanks. So it's great to be here and it's so cool to see people not only through faces but actually the rest of it as well. By the way, so I've been in blue for that for 6 months, so please excuse the English. About my experience of community and church the past few months and during this lockdown time. And I remember at the beginning of lockdown, I asked the Lord a few times, like, well, I don't want to miss what you're doing this time. Like, it's such a unique season, and I know you can work, you're able to work, and I don't want to miss it, I want to be a part of it. And, I think, I also just thought that I don't want it to be just a normal long holiday where I tell myself this time I'm going to spend a lot of time with the Lord, I'm going to spend time with the Word because we have time available. And usually it doesn't happen. I struggle with discipline. I think it's because there's not a lot of accountability and I'm not at church. But also, I was so grateful when the church continued to be super intentional about meeting up on Zoom and being intentional with getting to each other and being involved in each other's lives and still building relationships. I think it was the best accountability for me during this time was the church. I'm super, super grateful. With regards to community, I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would meet people over video call. It's not my personality. Like, it was so strange to actually build relationships over Zoom and get to know and make friends, real friends, like hard people. And I remember speaking to people at home about it and just telling them about this new cool friend I made over video call, and like, I feel like I've known it forever. And the people thought it was strange, and I just realized that it's not normal. Like, it's really the grace of God. Like, it's not normal to be able to do that. It's really just through the Holy Spirit and being united with one another through Jesus. And I remember one specific evening at a community. We spoke about the gifts of the Spirit and 1 Corinthians 12, and Dean, it really puts on his heart to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit that evening over Zoom. That's weird. I'm so grateful that he was obedient and had faith for that, because I don't know if I would have the courage to do that. We opened up and asked who wants to receive the Spirit, like, who can we pray for now? And there was 2 girls who actually responded and asked that we could pray for them. And so we did, and one of the girls, just started speaking in tongues, like on Zoom, and it was just really so tangible, like Holy Spirit, and it's really an evident breakthrough in their lives, in us as a community. And I was also just amazed during this whole time, like how people give themselves the church, especially in our community, because that's the people we spend most of the time with. People gave themselves like fully, not because they have to, but really because they want to. And there's life, there's really life. So I think, something that I've learned in this time, I think many things about church went from head knowledge to heart knowledge for me, and what the body is really about. About supporting each other and being vulnerable to each other. And yeah, I'm just so encouraged by how nothing can limit God to where nothing, not even distance. Mm-hmm. Like, He's so able to do anything. He's able to image every word and pray everything you imagine. And you're encouraged by that too. And I'm so excited to be back.
You can come. That's incredible, eh? Pray for people for the infilling of the Holy Spirit over Zoom. And it happened. I love it. It's really cool. It does just show you how God can work anywhere, in any way. For those of you who have no clue what a community is, okay, this is not a sect. I think so. At least, I'm hoping it's not a sect. Community, I'm joking, it's not a sect. Jeez. It's not a sect at all. Community is our small groups, our home groups, and over lockdown we continue to meet over Zoom, and now a lot of the groups are meeting in person. So if you wanted to join a group, you're more than welcome to speak to any of the leaders. Welcome to join a group. Marcel, go for it.
It's been a long time since I've had a mic, man. Anyway, so I've been given. Asked to share like the walk, my walk with God, and okay. So the people who don't know me, I'm obviously Marcel Miller. I'm 18, and I'm a current ministry pupil at Forest Gymnasium in Zambia. And I grew up in a Christian home, a loving family. But anyway, that's the update. Walk with God. How that started for me was definitely high school. Going into high school was a big adjustment for me, and. Right at the night, I was like, I'm just a little bit lost. And I joined a small cell group, and it's like a little community, used to meet at breaks, and it was very like social based. Like, I never really felt like a group, but it was like in the community, like, it was almost just like we used to just join and just chat about life, and like, not really, you know, anything meaningful, like, from that way. And obviously, I went to all boys' schools, you know, I found a lot of wrongs, right at night, I was pretty lost, and yeah, so there's a lot of last night confrontation, a lot of girls was a big problem. And also my grade 10 year camp, and at the time I desperately wanted to be in like a romantic relationship. I was feeling lonely and I was watching like all my friends getting into relationships. And it was almost like I would settle for to be like in a relationship with anybody. And I didn't realize at the time that the best relationship to have is a relationship with God. And I felt like I was able to fix myself before coming to God. Only after many conversations and prayers that I realized that God was always going to accept. And so that was my grade 10 year, and one day I was sitting in class, and a teacher just came up to me, and she just genuinely started speaking life into me. I looked at her and I was like, oh, you mad, like, what is going on? And she's actually sitting here today. She's in the back there. So she genuinely spoke life into me, and I was completely shocked. I went home and I had some serious convictions. I felt very guilty all of a sudden. I was very confused. I had so many questions. Like, I didn't know what was going on. So much so that I actually went back the next day and like, I committed myself to Christ in the classroom. So that was my great 10 year for me. I feel like it was the end after I got saved. I was, you know, genuinely like I felt like I grew spiritually. It was a good year for me, great 10. And so that was 2019 came, and it was a big challenge last year. And I went through a massive dip. I never really spent time with God, and my back started heading. And you know, a lot of us came into temptation, a lot of girls again. And I would come to church 2019, and I'd be sitting here with a heavy heart. I wanted everything to be on my terms. I wanted to walk the journey on my terms, like alone, like, when it suited me best. You know, and I realized that was never ever going to work.
I was on my way to start a community group there. But I sort of had unrest in my heart about being Hillsong. I knew that this is not the place where I am planted, where I have to be planted. So I started praying about it. I just started talking to God, asking Him to just move me to wherever He wants me to be, where He wants me to serve. And I just remember how I struggled with that, because I knew I don't want to go to another church and not be in a church with God and plant my way. No, I don't want to make another decision on my own. It's not God who sent me there. And so it happened that I heard about Status PM starting a congregation at the beginning of the year, so I went to visit the church first PM service. And it was very cool service. I loved the sermon, but I still wasn't convinced that this is where I'm going. I was still so uncertain, so I just kept on praying. And in that time, didn't start the community at Hillsong, started church hopping. But still, so confused, didn't know what to do, and I went on going to Hillsong, trying to convince myself that maybe this, I should just serve more here or try more or whatever. And it was about 4 weeks after the PM service, I was on my way to Hillsong, and I was literally in the foyer, so they just moved to the end of the wall. I was in the foyer, on my way to going to church, ready to just be part of the church, and God suddenly told me I have to go to Josh Jay. And I remember, I stood there, I was like, okay, usually, I don't know if you've experienced it, but when God talks to you, it's like, is this me or is this God? So I stood there in the foyer for 5 or 10 minutes, and I was like, okay, what am I doing? God, someone's telling me to go to Josh Jay, and I'm not sure if it's me or it's God. And eventually I looked at my watch, I'm like, okay, there's 15 minutes left, I'm going to jump in an Uber, I'm going to go to Josh Jay. And I remember being so scared because I literally didn't know anyone, Josh Jay. I didn't know, I'm going to walk in this, and okay, I knew the one, but and I was so nervous, just I went to the bathroom at Josh Jay, they started praying, I was like, God, please, show me what this is. It was that service where it wasn't there was no sermon, it was just the worship service. And the whole service, I just prayed that that line from the song Ocean, Spirit of Me, Everyone Trust Is Without Borders. I just prayed over and over and over, asking God, please. And after that service, it was one or two weeks before lockdown, so I left there, really loved it, but still didn't really have answers. And I went back home, I was back in the Reformed church, growing up with my family, doing the church with my family. But I got very alone in terms of community. I didn't join the Zoom meetings of the song. I was on my own, just me and Jesus. I kept on praying about it, and then I got invited to Dean's community. I decided to join. I joined the first Zoom meeting, and I was stunned at the confirmation that God gave me. It's actually a longer story from the dreams that God gave me that led up to this evening. But just as I joined the community, the love I experienced in that first meeting, I didn't know any of the people, and just the welcoming atmosphere that I had in the community. I remember after that night, sat in my bed and cried, and I realized, I think God just sent me to these people. And I think the two things that I've learned since then, becoming part of Josh Jay and being part of the community and everything, is firstly, the family we have in this church is insane. The community and the love for each other. I haven't experienced it in any other church before. And the other thing is the encouragement to actually serve and to give yourself to this church, or to the kingdom of God. To really go all in and give everything you have. Don't hold back. Don't think you're just here to receive. That encouragement you get, that you want to give everything you have. You know that you're going to be missed if you're not in a community, if you are not a church. And that is, I love it. And it's insane. So it's just, every time I walk into church, I'm just like, I'm going to give more. I'm going to give everything. And I know that this is God leading us, leading this church.
Who's next? If we're interested, let's discuss study theology and over. first visit, I found that out the other day, she had to do a sermon critique. So she came. I'm still waiting for her to send it to me because I preached that evening. So I'm like, I want my critique. I'm still waiting.
Hello, everyone. My name is Yaku. For those who don't know me. So Lynette asked, when I shared, so I'm going through very tough times. Like, I was like, hey, we're going to share, but go through tough times. Which is like, I said, yes, specifically because I want to be with the process. And God has been very faithful. I was wrestling with him a bit when it asked me actually, so I was like, hey, let's get this thing bent. I want to actually share with you that God is faithful and he is there like through the season. So I can actually say like the past 6 months have been like the worst 6 months of my life. Like it's been like really difficult. But like God is good in it, and like, I can say that like freely, you know, that like God is good in it. So I can say it's been a fight, it's been a struggle, and that's how it works for me in the promised land. The Father made a lot of promises to me, and then he gave me a few days before lockdown. I didn't know lockdown was happening yet. He gave me through two different people the scripture of Caleb saying, like, I want that little country with all the giants are at. Like I want to take all of that. So like he basically chose the most difficult country, but because that's his inheritance, that's what God promised. And the Father gave that to me, so I was like, yeah, Lord, I'm on it all. Like, I'm here with the challenges, and I'm like, I'm here with the fight. I've cried a lot, and I've ran through there a lot. Like, you can't take it away either. That's something you have to learn as well. Like, the end, like, the Father made it so that I can only run through you. But I just want to share a few things, like, just like what I want to learn through difficult times, and it's good that you have to go through them. So the first thing that I found is that he is a constant hope and a constant joy. So God, we preach about where you find your hope. And I found that if I put my hope in breakthrough, I'm going to get disappointed. Because what if the Lord's plan is to break through you today or tomorrow? And you're going to be very disappointed. The Father's really telling me, find, put your hope in me. So I don't know theologically actually what it means, like what it means to practically put your hope in Jesus. But what I can say is that when it's going really bad, I look at him and his character and who he is, and I can always hold on to who he is, even if everything feels chaotic. I know who he is, and I can always run to him and just enjoy him, run to Jesus. And then him being my constant joy, no matter what happens, the thing is you put your joy in other things, you put your joy in circumstances, and circumstances go sour, you're sour. So you have to, like when you do it the hard way, like you have to put your joy in Jesus. He's a constant joy, he's always there. The second thing that I learned is he is always there, always hoping to pick you up. Every time you fall, every time it is difficult, and every time you get hurt, he's standing there with your arms open. And I don't know about you guys, but my flesh reaction when it goes really sucky is like I climb in a box, like I want to mope a bit, and then like maybe next day I'll go to the Lord like an hour or two later. And I found that every time actually the Lord was standing, arms open, I just didn't run deep. And like it took a while to learn that. It's still difficult to go there. You don't open up, like when it closes and it goes difficult. Like the reaction your heart gets hurt isn't to open up, it's to close, it's to protect it. What I've learned is the Lord is there and he's loving and his arms are open. I've learned that he understands. He's a comforter that understands. So Hebrews says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. It's crazy to think that Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering. I don't like how much more than us. Jesus suffered a lot. It speaks about a few times in Hebrews and in Isaiah. And I've learned that he's a compassionate one who understands. Like he suffered before us. He's gone through the journey and he understands if you're around him with whatever he's felt like. He's a man of many sorrows. I find him to be one who is on to open it and understands what I'm around him. Another thing is like I would very often get angry with the Father, asking like, where were you in all of this? Like, why aren't you coming through for me? And he reminded me about Israel. Also was getting impatient with the Father in the desert, and he told them, I've given you manna and quail every day. He brought water out of the rock, he split the sea in front of them, and we're getting patient. And the Father showed me this here every single day, I've given you manna. And what that meant for me is like every day when I went to him in the mornings, I found him. I can honestly say that it was very difficult, like a time period, but every morning I did find him. Every morning he did sustain me with fresh word. And every time I did run to him, he picked me up. He was faithful to pick me up every time. And like when I want to complain because it's a difficult season, just reminds me, listen, son, if you come to me, I'm going to pick you up, and I've learned that now. He will pick me up. If I go to him, he'll pick me up, and he will sustain me every day with fresh manna and quail, and he does provide. Yeah, it's very cool. Like, I can't say that he hasn't sustained me. He's given me enough. And I just want to say, I know this is necessary for disciplines, like for purification, for my offspring. Like, I want to be refined. Because at the end, only the goal, only the refined will stand on. So I was asking for this. I'm thankful I did. But yeah, it's for discipline's sake. And you know what? He sustains you in all of it. He gives you enough every day. I can say that. Like, I've seen it. Every day, giving encouragement, just enough to get through the day. The last thing is just, in a season like this, where it's really difficult, it becomes very real to you. It breaks a lot of religion. Like, those things where you just do it because you have to do it. Or like, you read the Bible because it's fun, or you have to. Or all of that kids goes out the window when you're really needing it to come through for you. So I can say that in a time like this, he's never been so real to me. Because when you're needing to come through, and you're really crying out, the real God shows up. And if you're playing around, like, you don't really need him. You won't have a desperation. But I've never been so desperate. And then he comes through, and in a real God way. So that's the other thing I can say, is he breaks religion, he breaks his fakeness often in a difficult time, you know, to find the real Jesus. So I can say that I've never known him to be this real. So I just want to read a scripture that the Lord, to end off what we encourage me, speaking to the Israelites about the desert season and things. And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart. I don't know if it's in my heart, I've got a very ugly heart. Jesus is renewing it. It's so cool when he shows you through difficult stuff, like the real stuff comes out. Like under pressure, if there's toothpaste inside it, it pops up. So it's cool. This is what the Father says to Israel. He humbled you and he let you hunger. Fed you with manna. So I know he left me hungry, but he fed me with manna every day. So I didn't look anywhere else around but him. And it's cool when you find him, and he's faithful, he's really faithful to sustain you. That you might make known to you that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Know that in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God shall discipline you. And then there's a lot of promises that surround the ones after that. But I know that's how it looks. Like, I want to be disciplined as the son, that's how he loves us. And I know even in the discipline, I've learned that I can hold on to him. He's super real in difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
His arms are open. He's a God that Jesus has suffered, actually. He understands what we're going through. He really sustains every day. He gives us enough.
Next, Tyler, come stand here. Just want to quickly tag on to what Janko said, just for a moment. You know what, I think there's a bad church culture that we can so easily fall into, where you're not allowed to speak about the bad times.
Yeah.
Always, like, you know, in Afrikaans they say, blinkant boer. It's like blinkant boer Christianity, where everything needs to be sorted, everything needs to be okay. But you know what? If we do ourselves at this service, if we come to church and we pretend that nothing is wrong, if something is wrong, it's when we are vulnerable in front of each other, it's when we can be family, like real family, that we can come and say, I am struggling, and reach out to our brothers and sisters, it's then that we will find breakthrough in God. And I'm so thankful for what he's going through, because I think God is teaching him amazing lessons. But I'm also thankful that he's able to share that, and that let's make this a church culture where we don't shame if someone's going through a tough time. I'm going to say this is not a perfect zone. It's also not a change-free zone. We're not going to let you mope and stay there. We want to help you find Jesus, but it's really okay if you come with difficulties. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think it's just a good opportunity to share, and I specifically wanted him to share. Otherwise, we only have the good stories here, and we're like, yeah, that's not me, I'm going through a sucky time. But now you can know, even in bad times, I think it's wonderful how we're seeking Jesus and finding Jesus, even in the difficult times. So let's be those people. All right. Tyler, and then we're going to just sing the last song of worship.
Can you guys hear me? So my testimony goes as follows. It was at the beginning of the year that I read about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I didn't really know what it entails or what it actually means. I just realized that from the point where a person gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, his whole life changes. Like, he's living a super different and radical Christianity. And that really intrigued me. I was like, I want this. And so I prayed for it. Like, I prayed for, I think, 2 weeks that God would just, like, fill me with His Spirit. And I prayed, and nothing happened. And then I went to Gieten, to his flat, and we spoke about it. And we started praying, and then Summer Bernadette joined as well. And, so we prayed. And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I started praying in tongues. But wait, there's more. It doesn't just stop there. I can really just, like, from the moment that happened, it felt like I loved the Christianity that is portrayed in the book of Acts. Like a super radical, different Christianity. No offense, but I felt like the best Christian in the world. Accepting it and living it, and I really felt like a very good Christian. And then I had this huge, like, massive desire to just spread God's word, to share what God has done in my life, to share His truth and righteousness. All that it is, just to share it. Like, I had this huge desire to do this, and then lockdown came. Wait, there's still more people. and then I started praying. I started praying a lot with this huge desire. And one of my friends from Res in Pretoria at Tippies, he messaged me and he asked me, "Hey man, so for a non-believer, how do you get close to God? Like, how do you do this Christian walk thing? Like, how do you start?" I was just like, yes, finally. And I started speaking to him, I started ministering to him and testifying to him of what God had done in my life and what it means to be saved. And time went by, we did the foundations course, we spoke about salvation and faith. And that evening, I spoke to him about salvation and faith, that salvation comes from faith and not from deeds. And what that means, that we are undeserving of God's life. Basically just that I started testifying to him of what God had done in my life and ministering to him. And long story short, I led him through the repentance prayer. Things are lacking now.
Sorry guys, while I was sitting there, I was reminded, I had this feeling that there were some people who were listening to these testimonies and thinking, like, man, why am I not seeing God in this way in my life? Why am I not getting these dreams or these, like, radical encounters in other churches 4 years or whatever it is? And I was reminded of the story. story of Esther, and in the entire book of Esther, there's no like outright scripture or things that says, then God said, or then God did this, or whatever. Like Esther, all that she did was out of relationship with God. Like everything that was inspired her to do all these things, like, and for those that don't know, like, come to this king and wanted to like persecute all the Jews and like do something that is not allowed and like to convince him not to do this, was out of relationship with God and what she felt to do with the guidance of God. And I want to encourage us today, like, if you feel you don't see God's hand in your life, you don't have a testimony like this or something, like, go back to the root, like, go back to your relationship with God. Like, I promise you, if that thing is in place, you'll start to see more and more God's hand over your life and the situations in your life. And I promise you, you'll have testimonies like this sooner than later.
Yeah. Okay, worship team, you can come forward. Let's stand. Let's just end the song of declaring God's goodness and give him some praise. I agree with everything that was said, especially now, Bernadette. Don't feel like you are insignificant if you haven't experienced these things. Rather, let it be cause for you to seek God more. Okay? Don't seek God less because of what you heard. Seek God more because of what you heard now. Let's worship.